I want to begin by echoing Brother Kenny's remarks about the meeting in Midland. I was down there Friday night and yesterday through after lunch service, and Brother Connolly did a very good job along with the other ministers there were too. Brother Connolly is, of course, the son of Elder John Connolly, who was from Odessa and ordained by the Midland Church. He and my younger brother were very close friends through high school. Elder Connolly was ordained there, and Philip, his son, was born in Midland, and then they moved to Mississippi, where Elder John Connolly served a number of churches for several years before he passed away about 8 or 9 years ago. His two sons, Philip, the one who was in Midland, and then James, both served churches in Mississippi, Georgia area, and both ordained ministers. And it was interesting to see Philip come home, and he looks like a long, tall Texan. He's about 6'2", 6'3". Big guy, wears a big cowboy hat. He lets everybody know in where he lives in Georgia now. He's proud of his Texas roots. Years ago, my grandfather wanted to start. He was unhappy a little bit with some of the things that were taking place among the old Baptists, and some of the newspapers that were being published were kind of in disputes with one another, and he wanted to start a paper that didn't talk so much about the disputes. And this was back in the early 30s, and so he wanted to, my great-grandfather had been in the newspaper business called the Glad Tidings for several years, and the Depression put him under. So from that, my grandfather wanted to start one, and he wanted it, but he couldn't come up with a name for it. And my grandmother said, Dora Richards came up with the idea, let's name it, out of the Song of Solomon's, chapter 2, verse 4. Solomon 2 and 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Banner over me was love. And that's what the subject I want to talk to you about a little bit this morning is that about his banner over us is love. It's an important aspect of our basic doctrine. It's an essential element of one of our doctrines that I hope that the Lord will bless us today and we can share in the wonderful news that the Lord has for us in this regard about the subject of love. You know, it's thrown around and bandied about a lot these days, and love is taken out of context a lot and what it means and doesn't mean. And, you know, I've got a daughter that's been in and out of love several times, and I don't think she's been in love yet. But we thought about it easy, but in the meaning, when we talk about it with God and his banner over us is love, it takes an entirely different meaning. It's on a heightened level, and the Lord will be with us, I want you to see that today by what he tells us primarily through the Apostle Paul. If you would, go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, when I hear, I know that if I were to ask for a show of hands this morning, everybody, you don't have to raise your hand, but if I ask, how many in here love God? Love God, love Jesus, love the Holy Spirit. Everybody raise their hand. I feel confident in that. I don't think you'd be here if that wasn't the case. You know, we all love the Lord. That's why we're here. That's why we come to church, is to come and praise and worship him and show our love for him. Why do we love him? Why do we love the Lord? If we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and this gets the last end of the chapter 4, he gets into the rapture provisions of that the Apostle Paul explains so well about the coming of the Lord when he returns, how he'll come with a shout and a trump, and we'll meet him up there, and people will come out of their graves. That begins in verse 13, but at verse 9, it's what I want to talk to you about a minute before he gets to that place. Verse 9, the Apostle Paul tells us this, but as touching brotherly love, the love you have one for another, regarding it. I'm going to talk to you for a minute about brotherly love and regarding it. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. You don't need me to write to you about this and tell you about it. He's about to tell us why. He says, brotherly love is important, but you don't need me to tell you about it. He said, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. We're taught of God. It says in the Bible that we're to love one another. If you go read it, we know that we're to love. We talk about brotherly love a number of times, that we're taught all about love. Our parents should teach us about love. We tell each other we love each other, and And that's how we know about love. But it doesn't say that we're taught about love. It says, as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. It doesn't say about God. It doesn't say about love or about it. It says you are taught of God. God is doing the teaching. Not me, not us, not our parents, not everybody else. God does the teaching to us about love. You are taught of God to love one another. I'll flip back here to Galatians a little bit, because I want to see where we get love and where we get the ability to love and why we love God, if we say we do. Back in Galatians chapter 5, Apostle Paul is telling us about the fruit of the Spirit. He talks about the difference between the Spirit and the flesh. This plays right into this, and it begins in Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, don't follow the fleshly lust that we have in this world. Making a comparison. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. You've heard this verse used before. So that you cannot do the things that you would. We all know we want to do good, but the flesh causes us to yield to temptation to do the things of the world in flesh. Verse 18, he said, but if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the things of the flesh put us under the law, the old law, which, you know, under the law you had to be righteous. If we do the things of the flesh, we're not righteous, we're under that law. And he goes and compares now. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. These are clear. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderings, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. That's what he's just told us we'll do. Other than spirit, that's what we'd be inclined to do. He said, the such like, which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he makes this statement, verses 22 and 23, that I want to focus on for a moment. But the fruit of the Spirit, and he starts to list nine things. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. The first list I gave you, I don't know how many, I didn't count them, about 20 things, though, that go against the law. They're under the law, and they go against the law. If you do them, you're going to be held responsible by the law. Each one of those things, not every one of them are against our civil laws. Some of them, most of them used to be. They eliminated some of them, but they're all against moral law, especially when you do them to excess, then you're violating the civil laws, the criminal laws of this state, the United States, and you can be arrested and hauled away. You're truly not only against the Old Testament law, but you're against the civil laws and criminal laws of this world. But in verse 22, but he says, but the fruit, and again, fruit is singular. It's not plural. These are not fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit comes in multiple heads, and these are the nine multiple heads. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We can practice those all as excessive as we want to get, and you're not violating the law. I can love everybody as much as I want to. I can have joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Unlike the other list, you can't get excessive with this list. This is the list of grace. The first list was under the law. This puts you under grace. But the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. We know we can go back and read third chapter of John, where we're told how we are regenerated, how we're born again. And I hope I don't have to explain to you this. It's not your doing. People will tell you, if you're not born again, you know, need to go get born again, need to get yourself born again. And we go read that John 3, we find out we don't have control over that. The Lord has control over that, the timing. And he gets down to the end of that, and he tells us how we're born again, because people will tell you, you're in charge of your being born again, but they'll go back and say, well, John the Baptist wasn't. He was born again in his mother's womb. And Apostle Paul was born on the road to Damascus. The Lord struck him down there, and that's when he was born again. We all agree on this. That's when those two were born again. How much control did either one of those two have of that? Neither one of them had any control over that. And if you go back and look at that, in John 3, it tells you're being born again by the Spirit of God. You're being born again by the Spirit. if I can get here. Yeah, and you get into chapter, to verse 8 of John 3, and it says, "And the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Thou cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." That's when you get the Spirit, is when you're regenerated. When God, He picks the time, the manner, the place, and regenerates you, makes you born again. We have no control over it. It's like the wind, He says. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit the same way John was, the same way Apostle Paul was. There are no exceptions. We're all born the same way. We have no control over that. The Lord determines the time, the manner, and the place. Sometimes He'll do it very young, like He did in the womb for John the Baptist, and sometimes He may do it when we're very old. That's why we're not to judge that, but we can tell. You can't see the wind blowing, but you can see the effects of it. When I see the trees move, I know that it's windy. I see things blowing. I can't see when the Spirit comes and touches somebody, but after it's touched them, I can see a change in their life. He tells us the fruit of the Spirit. Number one, love. What is love? Love is the sacrificial giving of yourself to the benefit of someone else with no expectation of any return. I'm going to give myself to you. I'm going to sacrifice in some manner, make sacrifices to you, give you myself. I don't expect anything in return, but I do it purely for your benefit. But love and joy. Joy is gladness of the heart. Peace is tranquility. I'm at peace. Lord tells us, you know, we have a doctrine of peace and security. You know, if old Baptists have that soundness of heart, security of heart, we don't worry about our eternal salvation. We know Lord's taking care of us. We know we're not in charge. If we were in charge, we'd be in real trouble. Because of that first list I read, that's where we tend to be, is all those unrighteous things. But we have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is singular. When you get the Spirit, you get all of these. These come as a package deal. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I have patience when I ought to have patience when we don't have patience. You get that when you get the Spirit. Gentleness. Gentleness is kindness to other people. Goodness. Goodness is charitable. Giving. You give to other people. Faith. Faith is dependability. Now, where do we get faith? Well, I'll talk about that in a moment, Dobin. Meekness. Meekness basically is humbleness. Humbleness, lowering yourself down, serving other people, being meek about it. Being meek, not being bold and brash and prideful. And temperance. Temperance is self-control. Control your emotions. Even when someone does something to make me mad and offend me, I need to learn to control myself. Now, I don't practice all these as well as I should. But he says, and against such which there is no law. We get all these when we're taught of it, of God. God teaches us this. God gives us this. Go back with me to John chapter 6, those of you who have your Bibles. John chapter 6, a couple of verses I want to point out of here. Verse 37, and a lot of these you've heard quoted before. I want to focus on the love part of it. All the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. If you jump down here to verse 44, he did explain how people come to him. Again, verse 37, all the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Jesus himself speaking. Verse 44, he explains, no man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up again the last day. No man can come to me except the Father draws him. We can't come to Christ. You know, we've heard it's time for you to come to Christ. We have no ability to do that except the Lord says, grabs us by the collar and says, you're coming to Christ. We don't have a say in it. It's already happened before we even know it. In verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. And they shall be all taught of God. It doesn't say about God. It says taught of God. God is the teacher. You know, I can teach an atheist about God. Atheists know who God is. Yes, who God is, and they say, oh, that's that figurehead that you guys believe in. They know about God, but they're not taught of God. Once they're taught of God, they're not an atheist anymore. They're a child of God. And that's when it becomes known that they're a child of God, when they be regenerated. It is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. everybody who the Lord decides to speak to, the Lord decides to teach you about love. When you are taught of God about love, you're going to go to Christ. You're going to go to the Lord. Everyone shall. That's how we get it. And that's why he says up here, all men, all that the Father giveth shall come to me, and him that cometh to me in no wise cast out. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent, since to draw him. The way we are drawn, the Father draws us, is he teaches us about love. When he teaches us about love, then we get into that laundry list we read a while ago about the things that constitute the fruit of the Spirit, beginning with love. Let me go to Titus. I think that's where I want to go to next. Titus. Book of Titus. Book of Titus, chapter 3. And again, you have heard this one. It's the same way. Verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. This is how we used to be. Apostle Paul talking here. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. There's not any love in that. But after that, we decided to be a good thing to love. We on our own decided it'd be a good thing to start loving people. He doesn't say that. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, not because we decided to love, not decided we came along, but because he taught us about love. He taught us directly. God did. It comes from God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now look at this. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. That's when we know about love, is when the Lord regenerates us and we're born again. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul when he was on the road to Damascus. He didn't really know about God. He knew about the law of the Jews. I'm getting ahead of myself because I want to cover that in a minute. But we learn by God when God gets ready to us, when he gets in, when he determines it's the right time for us to be regenerated again. That's when the Spirit comes and brings the fruit of the Spirit, number one of which is joy. All those come with it at the same time. If you don't have those, if you hadn't been born again by the work of the Lord, then you're not going to have those fruits of fruit of the Spirit. Jeremiah 31, this is repeated in Hebrews chapter 8. We talk about it usually there. I like the way the wording of it. Hebrews chapter 8 and 10 cites Jeremiah 31. I want to go back to the original Old Testament citation. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. I had a covenant of righteousness. That means all the laws of the Old Testament, primarily the Ten Commandments and all the other 600-something laws of the Old Testament. They couldn't follow them. We couldn't follow them. We still can't follow them today, especially left up to our flesh. So the Lord says, coming with Christ, we're changing the rules. I'm creating a new covenant with the people, with my people. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law into their inward parts and write them in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more. One of the jobs Moses had was trying to teach people to know about the Lord. Didn't work. People didn't know about the Lord like they should have. He says, now, still don't. You have left alone, we still wouldn't know about the Lord. And we're not taught by man. I can sit here and teach people that know the Lord more about the Lord, but I'm not ever going to teach you to know the Lord. I know Brother Kenny. I don't know him as well as the Lord does. I try to teach you about Brother Kenny. I can describe what he looks like, and I can kind of describe, where he lives, what he looks like, and his surroundings. I can't teach you to know him. You're going to know him probably better on your own. I can't teach you to know him. I certainly can't teach you to know the Lord. And you can't know the Lord because he's too far greater glory than we can ever imagine. He teaches us about himself. Our love of God comes from Him. Our love of each other comes from Him. We don't have the ability to love. If we left in the flesh, we would do all those lists of things over there, that the list of which are against the law. And all those good works, starting with love, there is no law against that. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Now, you know, it always bothers me when I hear ministers, and I listen to them occasionally on the radio or on TV, and they'll say, you know, you got to know the Lord. And we went out and we taught saved souls, and we taught people to know the Lord. I don't know how they get around this verse right here. We're under the new covenant. That's what is good about the old Baptist church. We're old-timey, we're old-fashioned, we're antiquated, but we're the most modern church that I know of because we worship under the new covenant. We're worshiping the way the Lord told us to. We don't try to teach every man to know the Lord because they're all going to know it. The Lord says, that's my job. That's not the job of us. It's not the job of the ministry. It's not the job of the gospel. The Lord says, I will go directly to their hearts and teach them about me. Teach them about love. I'll put those good things in them. They shall no longer teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. He's telling us, I love my people. I'm going to forgive them, forgive their iniquities. I won't remember their sins anymore. He's better than us parents are. You know, I love my children. Sometimes I want to wring their neck. You know, sometimes they do stuff that I don't like and I have to try to discipline them. And, I have to try to talk to them and discipline them and work with them. Doesn't stop me from loving them. Always keep loving them. And sometimes, you know, I look and I think about, how many times do I have to tell you that? I've told you 30, 40 times. And I remember the Lord's told me 30 or 40 times too. Sometimes I don't remember, but He still loves me. You know, we have a lot of problems in this world that we have to deal with. We have a lot of problems in the world, in our families, in our job, with finances, with politics, everything going on, and it drives us crazy sometimes, and we worry and we get lost. The one thing that we have to anchor our soul is God's love. And there's nothing that compares with that. We can get over there in the end of John where, you know, Jesus tells Peter, you know, do you love me? And he goes, yeah. And three times they go through that. The first one of those times he tells, do you love me? When you interpret that under the old Greek, he's asking about, do you love me? Agape love. That's godly love. Do we love him agape love? No. We don't have the ability to love him agape love. We have ability to love him brotherly love. Because He gives us that. He gives us the ability to brotherly love. That's filial love. That's where we get the name Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Filial love, we do have that ability. The first one of those, though, is He says, do you love me? And the word interpreted from Greek is agape. Do you love me with a perfect love? No. I don't even know that I love myself with an agape love. We don't love ourselves. We have not ability to that. God has perfect love. He loves you. He's loved you since before the foundation of the world. Whatever troubles you're going through, whatever problems you've got, sometimes I feel like I'm so far from the Lord and the Lord's forgotten about you. No, He hasn't. He loves you with a perfect love. He's loved you since before the foundation of the world. He's taken your name and He's written it in the Lamb's Book of Life. It will not be taken out. It will not be changed. It will not be erased. That book is sealed with seven seals. It won't be opened until the end of time and your name will still be in there. He loves you. Now, do I deserve to be in that book? Absolutely not. But I'm there because He loves me. You're there because He loves me. When you're going through all sorts of troubles and griefs, and you're losing family members, excuse me, and you're having financial troubles, you're having sickness, you're having health problems, you remember, God loves me. God loves me. If you don't remember anything else, you can pray. We all should say, thank you, Lord, for loving me, because we know where we're going to end up. We don't know how we're going to get there, but we're going to end up in heaven, in the best place we can possibly imagine, because God loves us. You wouldn't be here today if you weren't in that group. You wouldn't spend your Sunday morning, you'd be home watching TV or movies or doing or out playing golf, but you're here this morning because something in your heart tells you you need to be here. That's the love that God put there. That tells me everyone in this room is a child of God. And I'm not to judge, but I am supposed to be given signs. And your behavior tells me the wind has touched you. The wind of the Spirit has touched you. And he's put those fruit of the Spirit's in your soul and in your heart. He's entered that and put you there. He loves you. And you can't get past that. We don't need to get past that. We need to anchor ourselves on that. He has put himself inside us and given us his Spirit in spite of ourselves. You know, it's like our kids. You know, I love my kids in spite of them. He loves us in spite of who we are and what we do. In spite of that we haven't earned his love in any way, he loves us with that kind of love. Go with me to, I talked about one of the fruits of the Spirit was faith. Again, I want to emphasize this point again. Go with me to 2 Peter. If I can find 2 Peter. 2 Peter, the first chapter, just the first verse. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. One of those fruits of the Spirit was faith. How do you get faith? You know, there at one time we had a football coach here. It's been a number of years ago. Football coach came to town, and his big deal was, my players are going to have faith. If they don't have faith, they better go get it, because nobody's going to play with me that doesn't have faith. And you better go get you some faith if you don't have any. Well, how do you get it? You need faith. If you don't have faith, you ought to get it so that you'll be a child of God. Well, let's read what the Apostle Peter tells here. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Christ, and he's writing this letter, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. I'm writing this to people who have faith. You obtained faith. How'd you get it? Where'd you go get it? They have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where you get it. That's where you get love and joy and peace and faith. All the good things about us, we don't go out and get those on our own. We don't just turn good on our own. I wish I did. I'd like to think that about myself. No, I'd be in that first list, the envyings and the murderings and the hatefulness and the lasciviousness. I'm in that list too much as it is. And like Apostle Paul tells us, those lists are contrary to each other and we can't always do what we want to, but we are led by the Spirit. When I do that list over there, I feel guilty about it. I know I've done wrong. That's because the Lord has put his Spirit in you. If your Spirit in you and you're doing some of those things on that first list, you're going to feel guilty because the Lord knows it. He knows us better than we do, and he knows where you are. You know, I heard Brother Philip, in one of his examples, use this yesterday about, you know, sometimes we want to go hide from the Lord. Sometimes we do stuff and we think, well, good, I want to go hide so the Lord won't see me. Now, that's foolish. It's dumb for us to even think like that, but I've thought that way. Well, I hope the Lord's not watching me right now. There have been times past when, boy, I've been places where I knew my mother wouldn't want me to be, and I think, well, the Lord knows you're there. He knows you're there. You know what? And he loves me anyway. He may discipline me. Says he will. He'll discipline me. He tells us that, you know, when you sin in private, he'll let them be exposed. But he still loves us. Doesn't change where we're headed. We're headed to the same place. Depends on how we get there, how much joy we have getting there. But we're all headed to the same place. That you can have security in. The love of God. Peter tells us that we get our faith through him. I want to go over here to 1 John. It couldn't be any clearer than this. It is in the book of 1 John, chapter 4. This is the chapter about God's love, beginning in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Again, not about God, it's of God. God does the teaching. Each time you see that used, they don't talk about we're taught about love, we're taught about God. We are taught of God, about love, about all these things. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. If you have the ability to love, you're a child of God. If you have the ability to love and love one another, you are a child of God. Otherwise, you're back in that first list doing the hatings and the murderings and the wrath, all those type of things. Everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. We ought to be thanking God for who the person is that we are. And I'm not as good as I ought to be. I mean, and we know we're all that way, but whatever person we are, we think we are, we need to thank God for that. If you're not in jail today, we need to thank God for that, because other than him, that's where we'd all be. because we'd be back in that first list doing those to excess. Goes into verse 8 of 1 John 4. He that loveth not knoweth, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I didn't talk about how that was ended. He one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. If you love God, you know God, you get all of that from God. I mean, we keep chasing our tails on this. But that's the point I want to make. The fact that you love God, that you love somebody else, the glory goes to God for that. We owe him that in and of itself, just the fact that he gives us love and lets us know love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. That's the point I want to make. I know you love God or you wouldn't be here, but that's not the point. The point is he loves you. He loves you and lets you see that. Herein is love, that we loved God, but not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. God sacrificed his son for us. Again, we talked about love. That's the meaning of love. It's a sacrificial giving of yourself in a manner that's beneficial to other people and no expectation of return. God gave us his son to die so that we can go to heaven because he loved us. What does he get in return? He doesn't get much from me. You know, and we know that even at our best righteousness is as of filthy rags. We don't have anything to give it. He gave us that because he loves us. And that's an anchor of our doctrine. That's an anchor of our soul right now. That's an anchor why we as Old Baptists, we don't worry about our salvation, our eternal salvation. God's taking care of that. If you have that feeling in your heart, that tells me you are a child of God. If you understand I'm a sinner and I fight every day with this, and I sinned again, and I went, oh, I'm sorry. Sometimes, you know, we said yesterday that, you know, sometimes I'll look back later and I've committed a sin and didn't realize it. I failed to do something that I promised somebody I would do. At the time I forgot it, I didn't realize it, but later I realized I've sinned. I sin when I don't even know it sometime. Because we're always fighting off that the things that are under the law, those things of the flesh. Herein is love, that not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We ought to do that. That's what love is all about, and that's what he's telling us here. You know, when we look back at the Old Testament, chase a rabbit here for a minute. We look back at the Old Testament, we see there's 600 and something laws there, and they could never follow them all. 10 commandments and then all the other laws. So many of those, they couldn't keep track of them, and they couldn't follow them all. We get to the New Testament, and when the attorney, the lawyer, asked Christ, you know, which is the greatest commandment? He said, well, out of those 600 and something, actually, there's only two. What are those two centered on? Love. Number one, that you love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, and soul, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Every law of the Old Testament hangs on those two. If we follow those two to the extent that we ought to do, then we have met the entire law of the Old Testament. That's the grace that God gives us with love. Because he gives us his love, we don't have to follow that old law, but we ought to. And that's what he tells us, and that's when we get a blessing in that. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And in verse 18, there is no fear in love. If we really have the love of God in us, then we don't have fear. I mean, I have daily fears about the problems and things of this world, but they can't take away that love from me. Nobody can deprive me of that. I know where I'm going in the end. Because God loves me, he's got a place set aside for me and reserved for me that is better than anything this world has to offer. Nobody can take that away from me. I've got some peace in that. I've got some security in that. I don't worry about whether my mother and dad are going to heaven or whether my kids are going to heaven. I know God's in charge of that, and he's going to love them more than I do. He's going to love them more than I love my own kids. He loves me more even than I love myself, and that's pretty hard to do. But that's the kind of love he has for us. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And then here, 1 John 4 and verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. You know, we go to, there's a song in this book that I heard sing over the weekend. It's number 192 in this book. God has been my refuge daily. Great song. God has been my hiding place. He will ever lead me onward. He will take me home at last. And all of the verses in this song are good, but I want to go to verse 3. He has taught my heart to love him. He has taught us to love him. He taught us that we need to love him. Again, we wouldn't know how to do that other than him coming and putting himself in our hearts. He has taught my heart to love him while he found me deep in sin. He found us deep in sin, and he's teaching us to love him. Now, that's hard for us to do even. If I find my kids, sometimes I don't know if I love them. I'm going to drag them out as best I can to sin, but I don't take time to teach them then to love me. I hope they will. We're taking care of that, and I hope they'll see that later. But he teaches us to love him. When things are at its worst, it's when we ought to take time to thank him for his love. When I'm in my worst and I've messed up my life and I've gotten myself in financial trouble or trouble at work or trouble in the family or wherever, that's when we ought to turn to God first and take comfort. He still loves us. And from that I can know I need to love everybody else. I need to love that. That's why he tells us we ought to love and pray for our enemies. That's hard to do, especially in this day and time. But he tells us we ought to. We ought to take and love and pray for our enemies. He has taught my heart to love him while he found me deep in sin. Yet he loved me long before then, even before the world began. His love is important, and it's important that he love us. But not only that, we don't even have the ability to love him until he gives us that love to start with. I want to go back to Galatians 1 and 4. Passed it up. Galatians chapter 1, when the Apostle Paul is talking about the revelations. We know at one time the Apostle Paul was a bad guy, bad dude by anybody could say. He persecuted the church and wasted and caused the death of a lot of good members of the Lord's people. He talks about that in the first chapter of Galatians when he gets to verse 11. But I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I didn't go to any seminary. No man ever taught me. What I'm preaching, I didn't get from any man, because the Lord wrote it in his heart, where he's heading. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in times past in Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church, and I wasted it. I did everything I could to destroy the church. That's the way I behaved. And profited in the Jews' religion. I knew everything about the Jews' religion. I rose to the top. I was really good. Above many of my equals in my own nation, I got to be the top of the class. If you were to go and take a class on being a Jew, he was at the top of the class. He learned for the best, and I was the best Jew. I didn't have anything to do with this guy called Christ. Being more exceedingly jealous of the traditions of my father. And then he gets to verse 15. But when it pleased God. When God decided to change things, God changed it. God came into my heart when he was time to write. And he showed me that he loves me, and he taught me that I need to love him. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. When I was born again, when the Lord changed my heart, I didn't confer with any men over this. Neither when I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. I went out into the country and I spent time with God. And that's what he's telling us. When we see what the Lord has done for us, we need to spend time with him and we need to thank him because of his love. I'm going to close with this. In the 8th chapter of Romans, again, nothing new that y'all hadn't already heard. I just want to emphasize it about what this love of God means to us. 8th chapter of Romans, it's got a lot of good stuff in it. I want to skip down, getting in verse. It's got, he tells us about whom he did foreknow, them he predestinated. Verse 33, who lays anything to charge the God's elect? If you're one of God's children, nothing can change that. Nobody can charge you with anything under the old law and say you're going to hell because you're a child of God. Nobody can change that. Nobody can charge you. It's God, the one that justifies. But verse 35 is where I want to go. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? God loves you, and I've said that, and I want to emphasize that. Who can separate you from that? Y'all have heard this verse before, but I hope you'll think about it and focus on it. What can separate you from God's love? We get in all sorts of problems, and sometimes we get ourselves in trouble, and we may go do some of the stuff that's on that first list, you know, that may be against the law. We do all those things, and that should separate us from His love. But here, Apostle Paul tells us, what can separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulations, troubles, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Everything that he just told us about, tribulations, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, you are the conqueror of that because God loves you. That's how important it is to you. Whatever you're facing in this life, you need to remember, God loves me. My kids may not love me. My parents may not love me. And my friends may not love me. But God loves me, and nothing can separate me from that. For I am persuaded, that means he is assured, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing separates you from that God's love. God gives you that love. He picks the time when it pleases him. He'll put that in you. That's when he regenerates you. That's when technically we're saved. You're confirmed before the foundation of the world. But you are saved, and we'll say that. I was saved before the foundation of the world. No, you weren't. You were confirmed, and your name was written down. You're actually saved when you're regenerated. That's when the savings comes. And he puts himself in you and puts joy in you. He saved you from that former life right then. That's when you're saved. Now, again, you're confirmed before the foundation of the world in Christ. All of that is predestination and happened before the foundation of the world. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But when he regenerates you, he puts himself in you. He teaches you to know who he is. He teaches you to love him. And that love cannot get away from you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And again, he gives us a whole laundry list. And there's great sermons in each one of these about what each one of these are. Heights, nor deaths, nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come. Heights, depths. There's a sermon in that verse in itself to tell all the things that covers. Nothing separates us from the love of God. We have troubles in this world, and we fight them all the time, and we're going to continue to have troubles. Whatever besets us and befalls us as old Baptists ought to have it locked in. God loves us. He loves me. I can take great security in that. I can have great peace in that because he gives you that. He gives you that joy and that peace and that meekness. And because of that, I need to love him, and I need to love one another. We need to express that love rather than the fleshly side of us where we get the hatreds. And it's hard sometimes when you come up and somebody's treated you terrible to turn the other cheek or to turn and walk away. I got tickled at Brother Philip Conley. He said, you know, it's hard for me to turn. Somebody slaps me on the cheek. What that tells me is when they hit me on the cheek, they've exposed their rib cage for me to hit back. That's what I want to think about. Instead, God teaches us love. Turn the other cheek and walk away in love and meekness. And nobody can separate you from the knowledge of Christ's love in you. Your place is secure in heaven. Your eternal salvation is secure. Nobody can take that away. You're going to have troubles in this world. In those troubles, we should lose the love of God to help us get through those troubles. We serve a wonderful God who loves us in spite of ourselves. We need to cherish that. We need to hold anchor to that. That should be the anchor of our faith and our security. If you don't know anything else about the Old Baptist doctrine, you need to understand that. It starts off with God's love, and nothing can replace that, and nothing can separate that. Thank you for your kind attention. My prayer is that the Lord will richly bless you.